Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our consciousness, of our planet, of our humanity. And the central issue behind all of that, the situation that comes up over and over again, decade after decade, despite denial and ridicule, are the appearances of UFOs and that how they, that phenomena is shifting our awareness to something bigger than ourselves. And that's partly why the phenomena is so suppressed, because the people in control don't want us to know there is something greater out there. And we're going to be covering some of that, and also we're going to be talking about this phenomena that's happening over and over again in Pennsylvania. I have tonight's guest is Allison Cruz, and she's been videotaping UFOs in outside of Pittsburgh for about 3 years now or something. We'll talk about it, Allison, right? How long have you been videotaping UFOs coming out of that area east of Pittsburgh?
Well, the phenomenon started in June of 2008 and was seen first by my daughter. It's about 3:30 in the morning over a neighbor's house hovering. And after that, it started, we thought that was our once-in-a-lifetime UFO sighting, and I was sleeping during it. But the subsequent months after that, she saw a disc with did hardly had any type of bubble on top of it, but the classic disc, it was glowing red, like pulsing red, and it had a row of white lights that went around the bottom of it. And the next day she told me she saw a strange plane. And then when I made her draw it, it looked just like a saucer. And showed me the neighbor's house sits down in the valley within a tree line. And she said it kind of wobbled over top of their bedroom. And then it took off towards the neighboring town where she was talking to her little friend on the phone. And he saw like 6-7 red lights in the sky. Got scared and ducked, you know, so we didn't sleep for a long time after that, like a week, thinking it would come back. You know, you're afraid to go to sleep, thinking something's sneaking around your house. And we didn't see anything else until like October. And then 2 days in a row, two different places around here, me and my guy, within 24 hours of each other, saw something we couldn't explain. And the sighting started getting closer and closer and closer together until the spring of 2009, in May of 2009, I just couldn't take it anymore that these things kept showing up, and the equipment was just too inadequate, regular, you know, camcorders. So I made the leap into higher HD camcorders with low lux capability that could actually pick them up. So I can really sympathize with all the people that report UFOs, and they don't come out on the screen. It's black, typically, with a dot in it.
So are they coming, are they coming from a specific location, these particular craft that you're seeing over and over again, or these lights?
Well, since it kept reoccurring, I have a hot tub in my yard, and we would see what seemed to be like an outrageous amount of meteors and things streaking across the sky. And we'd see flashes of light in the tree line. It's heavily wooded where I live, and rolling hills. It's pretty steep. I'm at the top of a mountain, basically. And I even bought a surveillance camera and put it out in the yard. It's a military-grade one, just because I thought maybe I was getting a tumor or something, seeing random flashes of light in the sky and these streaks. You know, you think your mind's playing tricks with you, but they were recorded. So I thought, well, I'm probably missing other things. So I found a higher spot in a farm field across the street from me that's cleared and stood up on top of there. And first time me and my daughter stood up top of there, you know, we saw this big orange ball of light rise up out of a patch of woods, and it flared up like the sun. In fact, a lot of people call them mini suns. It looked like a mini sun because the color is similar to that. And it'll flare up and flicker like, you know, it's going to explode or it's coming at you. But it's really just expanding in size, I find out. by studying them because they keep reoccurring in that area, different patches of woods.
So wait, can you describe that again? Was it evening that you saw this? What
yeah,
exactly?
Yeah, most of them are evening, although before I had the camera, we did see some things in the daytime, including like a V-shape thing that was kind of metallic, rounded edges, kind of tumbling, a silver spear that looked like it was going in and out of focus to my bare eyes.
But what was this thing that flared up? What was that exactly that you saw?
Well, from studying them, like I said, they like my area for some reason. We think it's probably the old abandoned coal mines that litter the entire area. I mean, the coal mines go back a couple hundred, or at least 100 years that I know of. And a lot of other areas in the country, and even in UK, the areas that they're showing up the same type of UFO are around old coal mine areas or underground caverns created by some other type of mining. And from watching them and spending over $20,000 in various equipment and recording 6 hours a night typically and replaying back, you know, surveillance cameras and stuff, I could say that safely say that they either show up looking like an early star in the sky that gets all misty and then makes an explosion type thing, but it's not really exploding. It's emitting out other spheres that sometimes you could see them, sometimes you can only see them with infrared. These spheres either float down or they hit down. They don't actually hit anything. They'll go fast like a meteor down to the tree line or just above the tree line where they pretty much park within trees to hide. Then later on, they kind of rise up, and then they'll start out typically red. Then that as they get brighter, they turn orange, then yellow, then flare up like the sun.
And you mean they rise? They will rise up from the ground. You're saying?
Well, they're not. They never sit on the ground.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen them sit on the ground. I've walked around a tree with these little bubbles. They look like a bubble sphere. And if you want to see what they look like,
yes,
filmed in outer space, the NASA's STS-80 footage shows them coming from behind the ISS, looking like a faint bubble, and as it goes in front of the ISS, all of a sudden, bam, it turns on lit, and they just hover there. I think five or six of them. These are the same things that are coming to my area.
Did you have
the thing is, you don't see on the net.
Walking around them in the forest?
Oh, yeah, well, I've walked around. I discovered that these balls of flaring up things came from these smaller spheres by buying a $3,300 Generation 3 ATN night vision scope after being told that really can see them good. And I went over to across the valley. There's an unfinished part of a golf course there that the woods they like. And as I was scoping around, looking to see where these things kept coming from that looked like a fireball in the woods before they rised up. Mm-hmm. And I saw this faint bubble thing, round thing, going across the fairway. And when I looked to see where it came from, there was three blinking spheres. They looked like little Tesla ball globes. And they were up about 20 feet off the ground in a high tree. And they just made little, like, blink, 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 kind of like a aircraft pattern. At first, they were a faraway aircraft, but then I walked around the tree, and they were in the tree.
Do you get any form of communication, psychic impressions, any type of interaction on that level?
No. In fact, I've talked to them. I had a fuzzy, dim, one of these same spheres, about the size of a beach ball, soccer ball. They typically range between that. One dropped from the sky and did like a slow come to a stop, you know, like an amusement park roller coaster ride. How it comes in and then does that controlled slowed stop. It dropped real fast and about 3 feet from the ground, it went invisible. I caught out of the corner of my eye. I'd been zapping his friends coming out of the woods with a green laser pointer. And I think it was coming down to see, you know, what the heck I was doing. Check up on me or something.
So, you see these light. How often are you seeing these things appear in the night sky?
Well, not as much as when they started. 2009 and 2010, especially through the fall of 2010, it was outrageous. I mean, some nights there would be 30, 40, 50 of these things. It was that bad. I had the police come out.
What did the police say about it when they came out?
They reported to the FBI and the military, and then they were told it was over their head. The guy I said, yeah, it's over your head. That guy came out with big, huge, like 500-millimeter surveillance scope. This guy actually did, you know, like terrorists, you know, like
a government
trying to find drug dealers and stuff like that. He was a tactical surveillance expert.
But can you tell us where exactly, you don't have to tell us where you live, but where exactly, which part of Pennsylvania are you seeing these lights appear?
It's about 22 miles east of Pittsburgh in the county of Westmoreland, which is the same county as the Kecksburg crash. Same county as Stan Gordon does his Bigfoot and weird giant bird sightings and things like that. I haven't seen those yet, but apparently there's been some reports around my area too, but I don't want to see Bigfoot, you know?
Do you think there's just a strange energy in that whole county? Is there something you feel about that place that is a little strange?
From what I'm reading, I mean, I knew nothing of Kecksburg or any of these other things before any of this stuff happened. And somebody told me, oh, you should tell Stan Gordon to come out. But I guess he's too busy with Bigfoot because he's never come out.
Who was Stan Gordon? Who was that?
He's a Bigfoot investigator, UFO guy back, I guess, in the 70s, started with the UFO stuff. If you Google his name, he does talks and MUFON conventions and stuff like that.
So anyway, the phenomena you're saying is like dropping off a little bit. It was really big in 2009, 2010, and then less.
The spring of 2010, that's when they got reported to the military, and then the military started sending out Apaches fully armed to come. And
Apache helicopters.
Pardon?
Apache helicopters, is that what you mean by Apache?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I see.
And what the activity would be hovering over the woods, and the things would, the little spheres, I mean, they hug the tree line. All they got to do to hide from anybody sneaking up on them is they just dim their lights and or drop down back into the woods. And they waited till the Apache, sometimes the Apache was sitting right there and watching them, but they would never get real close. And from what I can tell from other reports, these things have the ability to cut electrical systems in aircraft. So they probably don't want to try that.
So the other interesting thing, I mean, yeah, these lights are now, you post in 80 locations, the Marfa lights in Trout Lake, where, what's his name out there? James is his name?
Gilliland,
yeah. He's seeing very similar lights that you are.
Yeah, either it's the same technology or it's the same group whose technology looks. I mean, they have various displays they do. They can change their look. They can twinkle like the star Sirius if they want. They could be a milky orange opaque color. They could look like a ball with flames on the outside. They could look like a plasma ball with swirling red-orange plasma inside. They can mix it up, but I only say that they are the same group because they keep showing up and doing repeat behavior of the patrolling back and forth over the coal mines. So I have to assume that they are of the same group, but they have the ability to change their appearance.
You think they're actually doing something with these coal mines that are hovering over, like accessing some kind of earth energy from these places?
Well, I've studied a lot of the repeat. I look at UFO reports twice a day. Whoever is reporting them at the various reporting locations online to try to find a pattern of what they might be attracted to in my particular area. All my area is littered with coal mines, and it's high in radon gas. We have iron ore besides the coal, and radon is a decay of radium, radioactive, you know, uranium and whatnot. And from what I can tell, a lot of the other places like Lee's Summit, Missouri, which has had a wave of this, is exact same crafts. They have high rate on gas. Their area is littered with old coal mines also. And I found different old research online, you know, about like scandium in Hestale, Norway lights.
I've heard about the Hestale, Norway lights. Yes, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
They've only gotten one diffraction grating off of the when one of these do their bright thing, the scientists they're studying them, and they found scandium element producing the light is one of the elements producing the light that they can isolate. And that is present in Hestale in Norway. So maybe they go there to, you know, get some more of that.
So there's obviously some kind of interaction, relationship between these lights or their crafts and the chemicals that are coming out of the ground. It seems as if there is a connection.
I would say that it's a pure geologic attraction to my area.
But for some purposes, some type of fuel source or some kind of something that these crafts are needing, I would assume. I mean, of course, we have no way of knowing until they actually tell us. But
yeah, I have seen the spheres suck what looks like a stream of energy off of a cable TV line that ran through the woods. And also the West Penn Power Company, electrical company, they had handed out a memo back in the late 80s saying that UFOs were seen sucking electricity from the power lines. So I assume, since the power lines do run through these same woods, that after they drop from the sky, they need to, like, reduce themselves before they can do that bright thing where they either morph or emerge from these spheres that perhaps are like a travel container.
The other interesting thing about your work is that once you started to post it on YouTube, you told me someone hacked into your account and your account was closed, and as someone was trying to suppress the information you were putting out there. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, actually I can. I find it amusing now, you know, because it obviously hasn't worked, but it was probably around November of 2009. When I had bought the night vision and the better camera, and I caught that plasma ball swirling, and I think even the meteor dropped things into the woods and the little spheres moving around. And I actually got a guy that had been with Homeland Security who tracked me down somehow, called my house, and said that if I posted anything more interesting like a humanoid or some kind of ET, actual humans instead of like UFOs, then I'd probably get a knock at my door or be taken offline.
You posted these other things, the lights, they were up on YouTube, and this guy calls you and he says you'll actually be taken offline, you and your computer. He's threatening you with that.
This guy was like a helpful warning.
He wasn't threatening you.
He just told me that would probably happen. And it was not too long after that the internet harassment trolls started, filing false copyright claims on my videos on my channel, which makes your channel be suspended and be taken offline. And I had to fight them. And fighting them, you have to give your real name and address and everything. So they got my real name and address, and then they started harassing me personally, hacked my Facebook account, stole pictures of my daughter, made fake YouTube channels with her 14-year-old picture.
Really?
It's pretty ridiculous.
Wow. Is it the government or the secret government, or who do you think was behind that?
Well, a lot of people have suggested, the government would have done that, and who knows, maybe they pay some of these people to troll and harass other people. But personally, I just think that about five really quote-unquote douchebags are behind the majority of it, and I think they think it's a game or something, entertaining to them. One of them's in New Jersey, another one's in Iowa, one's in Arizona, one's
in
Colorado.
Well, there's something threatening, though, about what you were doing. I mean, in a way, they're complimenting you on your work because it's shaking things up.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, to single out me when I have a list of over 100 other people filming and making the same claims I am from various locations around the world, it seems a little ridiculous that they only pick on me. But
well, I'm sure you're not the only one.
I'm one of the few females doing this. You know,
well, lots of people are ridiculed for this, and I think it is part of a government or secret government program to suppress some of this information.
Well, a lot of the methods that they're using is the defame, slander, and you know, the ridicule part. You know, they even found somebody with my same name that worked in a bank on the east coast of Pennsylvania, 5 hours away, and they launched a campaign to try to get who they thought was me fired from my bank job. They thought I had it. And I had to call that woman up and tell her, you know, that they're going to try to do that to you. So
anyway, they did close your YouTube channel, right? YouTube.
Yeah, but I got it back. They did it two times. So I had to make a backup channel to post the video. So, you know, I just told them, you're not going to stop me. You know, keep trying. Mm. I love a challenge. What? Keep it up.
So what do you think your most threatening video was to some of these people?
Well, it started after I had the one video that showed one of these crafts, you know, and it was doing its mimic, just like the Pine Bush, New York, made famous UFOs that were studied by Dr. Bruce Carinette. These ones have the ability to project or move lights around. We're not sure if it's an actual hologram or they actually shapeshift, but they easily copy the navigation arrangement of our aircraft at night.
And how do you know they're not aircraft, though?
They don't show up on radar reports as a hit. And when you see them come out of woods, and you could tell that they're only 6 feet long when they're rising up out of the tree line, a thick patch of tree lines.
And they're not making any sound either.
They're not making any sound, but they can, apparently. They don't do it too often by me, but the ones that Dr. Cornett study, and like the guy in UK, he's got them making sound. And he had one doing a hologram-ish type thing of a helicopter over a hospital. He thought it was a helicopter for the hospital. And then all of a sudden it turned its cloak off and it just looked like a big sphere UFO, and like a thought with a saucer inside. So we think they have like a bubble, anti-gravity type of field around them, and maybe they project the hologram inside that bubble to make us see whatever they want to see, like inside of a TV screen or something.
Do you ever see the plasma ships that the guy in Mexico had a lot of footage of? Do you know who I mean?
Yeah, Carlos Diaz, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't look like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's the same, but it's they're not blurry and they're not all blobby looking. Maybe they, who knows, this type could do, I think, whatever they want to, but I haven't seen anything that looked like that so far.
So what was the when was the last time you saw some ships and videotaped them?
On November 29th of this last month.
What happened?
Oh, it was pretty ridiculous. I went up to the high farm field, and I could see them coming from the lower hills that are, you know, the farm field is a higher point. There's only like 3 points that's real high. And within the three high hills, there's a couple rolling smaller hills with the coal mines that they like. And they typically will hug those tree lines. And anything beyond those high hills can't see them doing that action in there. They think they have privacy. So with the leaves gone off the trees, I could see them, you know, but I really couldn't get any good film of that. All you see is a dot moving in the woods, you know. So I went over to what a high hill that they used to go down into the coal mines that's now logged. It stopped them from coming for a long time because they didn't like their trees being removed from that hill, I guess. And, well, there was just, they were by the communication towers. I just posted that one last night.
Oh, you did. It, so that's yeah. On your YouTube channel, which is what is it again?
Seeing UFOs, PA. SEEING UFO. S is in Sam. P is in Paul. A like Apple.
Okay, seeing SEEING UFOs, PA.
Yeah.
And so, So, and this is typical of the phenomena. So just, and it's like, you could describe again, do they just kind of appear out of nowhere, these lights, or are they coming up from the ground or descending from the sky?
They come from the sky. There's a local resident. It's in one of my videos, but he has his own channel. He's called Energy Research. And I have a video. I think you could put, you could probably search YouTube for UFO Stargate, Irwin, P-A-I-R-W-I-N, Irwin, P-A. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the guy multiple nights, night after night after night, he would see in the sky, the guy has eagle eyes, I swear, he would see what looks like Venus out early when the sky's still blue. At dusk, and he would watch it, and he was like, wow, that's really odd that that should be that bright. So he started watching it, and all of a sudden it would get misty after about 10, 15 minutes, and it would pop out other small balls that would just kind of float around, wander around. Some would drop to the ground. There's it's happening everywhere. The guy in Tijuana, Mexico has filmed it, for crying out loud. The guy in California has filmed it. He thought he was filming a UFO next to Saturn, and all of a sudden Saturn exploded and did the same thing, dropping these orb things out, and it just looks like a star exploded is what it looks like. But these little ball things, I've got them in my night vision just drifting down from the sky, and all of a sudden they start blinking like little Tesla balls. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, bam, they turn on a solid light, and they're typically golden color, not a pure white like a regular aircraft light. And during which they're expanding their sizes from a small sphere. I don't know. It seems impossible, but we, after seeing them do that, you know, within 500 feet from you, over and over and over again, with trees behind it, so you can measure it, you know, then get a good guesstimation of what their size is. That was the only explanation. And, you know, I would drive down the windy road in my car, you know, where you really shouldn't go past 35 miles an hour up and down hills and have to make a left-hand turn, and I would cut one of these off. That's how slow it was moving. And I think they do it because it gives the illusion of a high-flying real aircraft because they stay small. And in my Alien Hunting Part 6 of 8 video, there's a constable in the woods, and as he's going after what he said looked like little eyeballs in the woods after we saw the UFOs parked way back behind brush he couldn't get through.
Wait. So are the lights themselves, you feel, like beings, or are the lights sort of crafts, or you can't really tell what the lights are, what type of thing?
Well, some people have suggested that they're a living entity in themselves, but one of my contacts in Oregon, his YouTube channel is called Who Took My Mojo, all ran together. He has footage of what looks like a translucent shelled craft. And again, that would be fitting with my guessing that they have some way of projecting what they want you to think you're looking at on the outside of this translucent shelled craft, you know, like a LCD screen, you know, see-through. But inside looks like humanoid-type ETs, and they, you know, it's luminous inside their craft. And you could see little bald-headed smaller ones and the taller, faster-moving ones, with which he thinks are the Mantis ET types.
But you haven't seen that. That was just out.
No, there were, in my one footage, something was moving by a tree trunk, but when I was filming it, I didn't see it because the little screen is too small, and I can't tell from it. There was definitely something moving by the tree trunk in that Alien Hunting one. But
you haven't had any weird, like, personal experiences, like missing time or any kind of abduction type of association, have you?
Before we even saw the first one, I had something happen that, since I've caught them, they'll affect the EMF meter, the ghost meter type things, the tri-field EMF meter. They make them peg. And I've actually caught one racing up to my electric meter, which is on the major wire that comes to my house power feed is on the other side of my bedroom where my head lays. And I had something happen before. Our power would go off in the a.m. so much. I mean, I thought it was just from living out in the woods, you know, I couldn't understand why it would go off so often. I thought, well, maybe the lines are old and stuff like that. But having caught them on film after the EMF meter starts pegging, whipping the window open and snapping pictures, and one of these little balls of light going up to my electric meter, the thing I had happened in November 2007, I think, was probably an arcing of them stealing the electric off my line. It felt like somebody zapped me or smacked me, you know, like an electrical shock would feel.
That was just a byproduct.
Other than that, I haven't had anything.
Oh, so that you feeling that was like a byproduct of them zapping your electricity or sucking it out? Oh,
yeah. I mean, I've tried, you know, I've tried everybody's suggestions, you know, doing Morse code, SOSs, the flash camera things. They try to shy away from pretty much being busted. And
right.
We have them on film going in complete circles so they don't have to cross directly over top of me over and over again.
But this is a phenomena in your neighborhood. I mean, do other people get together? I mean, it's not just you that are seeing it. Yeah. You're saying it's like your whole community there, isn't it?
Well, there's many different areas around the Pittsburgh area. And on my YouTube description list, I list each state, country, city, and the people in my local Western PA area that have contacted me after seeing the same kind. And we've kind of set up a loose... warning list. If these guys do something more than look and leave, then we send out a mass mailing to everybody for a heads up.
Did that happen? Have you done that yet?
Well, I've told them, you know, if they're ramping up their stuff or if there's some big craft heading towards somebody that's in the next area over, I'll tell them that they're on their way.
And you have seen, like, what's the biggest craft you've seen?
Well, it was at least as long as my neighbor's house across from the valley, I'd say 80 to 100 foot long.
Right. No, but the community itself around you, the particular community, do you get together with your local people and say, wow, did you see what happened last night? Or is it not that type of thing?
No, our area, it's kind of a private, pretty, kind of upscale neighborhood that, I don't want to decrease our property values and have everybody slap their houses up for sale. Around the golf course where a lot of the activity was, a lot of those houses have changed hands in the last 3 years. It looks really suspicious to see for sale signs all lined in that golf course now. But then I've had messages sent to me on YouTube from people that said, you know, they're back, you know, when I said that I hadn't seen them for a while, you know. So... it's kind of, I don't want to go around waving a flag, you know.
No, I understand. You don't want to, like...
My method is to post the evidence so that other people that's seen the same thing have something they can say, look, this is what I saw, I'm not crazy.
So you're going to be in New York next weekend showing some of your videos, right? Can you tell us what exactly...
Yeah,
yes.
There's only going to be an hour, I guess, at the Theater 80.
Which is on St. Mark's Place off of First Avenue in the East Village. That's New York City. At around what time? Was it 7 o'clock?
The other two New York City UFO filmers, they start at 3.
Oh, it's a day thing.
I think it's 3. 3 and then 4. I think I go on at 5.
Oh.
The other ones start at 3. Besides doing like the look of a star, they also do the look of a balloon. And the other UFO guys, I don't know if you have even seen the news footage of when there was a mass sighting in New York City of several objects that hung around all day, some of them blinking, flashing.
I did see that. I know some people took the footage of that. That was October 20-something of 2010. It was right after an event I did there with these crystal skulls on 10-10-10, and it seems like somehow people made an association. I don't know, but it was right over the area that I had this event. So it was strange that they showed up around then. Yeah, I saw the footage of that. They looked like silver lights in the sky.
Yeah, that's a pretty common one. They, being white also is common, and orange and red, pinkish, yellow. The I don't remember. I think it was Mexico City, Mexico. The UFO, they emit like 80 spheres out of it after spinning around.
Oh, yeah, that Mexican footage is really amazing. Yeah. But it seems like these particular craft are after they have their own agenda. They're not here so much to interact with people. They're here to access energy or gather energy, and they're not necessarily interested in people, these crafts.
Well, I feel like we're in a big, giant planet zoo myself, and they come and they look. They observe us in our silly ways, and you know, maybe they take some samples of our flora and fauna and our mineral deposits. Like, for instance, coal can only be obtained by the fossilization of organic vegetable, you know, vegetation matter. And if they don't have trees and whatnot where they come from, then coal's probably like a unique item to them. And maybe they come and take a little sample, you know, or just check it out. And this is how humans mine the coal that they find, you know, this fossilized plant material.
But aren't you amazed, though, that they're as prevalent and as ubiquitous and everywhere as much as they are? I mean, that you're saying they're in 80 locations in this country and around the world, very similar thing. Why isn't it on the front page of newspapers, right?
Well, there's more, if you look on YouTube, there's more TV news, you know, making the sightings, but they're still just kind of giddy, like, oh, UFO, somebody's saying, I don't know what that was, little green men and all that. Yeah. You know, the ridicule factor that was put in effect back when the 1950s UFO wave, that's how they got people to stop, you know, getting everybody excited about it.
I read somewhere the Air Force actually had a budget to ridicule people, to pay their officers or people that worked with them to go out and harass people who reported these kind of sightings.
Yeah. Well, now we have the internet, though, and they can't possibly go out and harass everybody now. And just if you do a Google hit for, like, UFO and the year, starting with 2007, and count the number of results by year, then it's doubled every year, the number of mentioning of UFOs and or postings about them and or video sightings.
Right. I mean, it's in the millions. When I Googled it's in the millions and millions of websites and articles and blogs and pictures.
Yeah. It's time for all that garbage to stop. And, you know, they'd rather have people inside watching the idiot box, you know, and Dancing with the Stars and, you know, watching TV commercials every 3 minutes to buy stuff, instead of being outside seeing these things for themselves. It takes seeing in person, and I understand that. That's why I could put up with the, you know, the insults of people that don't know any better.
Before 2007, though, I mean, maybe not, weren't one of those people, but were you not into this, or were you always curious about this phenomena?
Well, I thought it would be cool. You know, I've heard of people saying, you know, UFO, and I said, well, that'd be really cool to see one, but I was an astronomy club person. You know, I only went outside to look at meteor showers, and those are always pretty disappointing compared to these things. I mean, some of these have come down looking like giant bolides. I mean, neon green, a bright orange one. We were expecting, like, the hit in a giant explosion, you know, like to create a massive crater type. That's how big these would be. And we'd never heard any sound from it. No reports reported anywhere, and these things were huge. And that seems to be what a lot of people are seeing that. And we see it on the media reporting sites. My first thing that we saw, we actually reported it to Tom's Green Meteor site because we thought it was just a green meteor. But turns out I would say probably 90% sure it was probably one of these things because they have a habit of being like a neon green color is one of their main colors besides red, orange, yellow, and prism white, sparkling different colors.
When's the best time to go out and see this stuff? I mean, what time of, well, in the evening, but any time of year, in the winter or the summer, is there a better time?
Well, in my particular area, It seems they like springtime and fall more so than the middle of summer.
Okay.
Now, maybe because, you know, we have seasons changing and stuff like that. And when my activity dies down, I notice down in the, like around Arizona, New Mexico, California, picks up then. And anytime it's raining, or rain's approaching, or snow, they, in my area at least, they never show up then. The first clear sky night, after many nights of rain or some other precipitation, that's the best night, and it starts anytime right at sunset. And they can start anytime after dusk. And when they do show up, it typically lasts 2 to 3 hours. If they're if they like your area, and not just a random one, we're talking, you know, sometimes it could be like 8, 12, you know, in an hour, and they just kind of pace back and forth several times, glowing real bright, hugging a tree line. They like woods for some reason. Like I said, I don't think they have them where they come from. And then they fly off faster somewhere.
So they and appear way, do they appear way up in the sky?
No, and, no, and low.
Low in the sky, over
a low, hugging a tree line.
Okay, so you're by a ridge over there, so they kind of almost come out of the ridge, would you say?
No, they. You have to see them do it. You know, either they drop from the sky like a meteor, come to a controlled stop. I've had footage where a whole bunch of them is in the woods. Some of them are flickering and flashing against a solid dirt hillside in the woods. And I could see them with my night vision, but the bare eyes, you wouldn't see anything. And then one by one, these little balls rise up to the top of the tree line. They start glowing real bright, flaring up like the sun or like Sirius star or something. And then that light dims down, and then typically, not always, but typically here anyway, they'll start flashing like a small aircraft that's further away, and they'll fly off.
And that'll take, that whole process takes what, about how long?
From the time they rise to the top
there?
Well, it depends. They, if they're going to morph into a bigger craft, it takes longer for that flaring up thing to go on. The bigger crafts that are 60 to 100 feet, they could flare up there for 3 minutes or so.
I see. Huh. It's
the Phoenix lights. The Phoenix lights are the same technology. Can't say they're the same group, like I said, because more than one could have the same technological appearance when they do this.
But by now, they seem pretty harmless to you. They're not threatening. They're just a curiosity in a way, huh?
Well, they haven't been harmful to me, but I found evidence and sightings in areas where cattle mutilations have gone on. And the cattle mutilations with the various wounds and the draining of blood, that's also similar to human mutilations that have been found in Brazil, for instance. And the wounds match up to Colares, Brazil village attack in, I think, 77.
Oh, really?
77 or 80.
I mean, my theory of cattle mutilations is that they're needing the blood of the cattle to incubate the hybrid offspring that they're breeding between aliens and humans. So they need to create these huge vats of, like, womb-type material in order to birth these artificially created beings.
I think it's all that's speculation, you know. Speculation is you know,
that's my
you can't toss any of them out until we know for sure, you know, which one is correct.
Well, because they also take the soft tissues of these cattle. I mean, I haven't really heard of many human mutilations, although there. I mean, it's largely cattle, but maybe there were. I mean, I'm sure there were.
Well, they hide it. There was one in the eastern part of Pennsylvania. A guy was went out riding his ATV, before I forget to mention, the other time frame that they tend to show back up again. And I've sat out all night long to see if they would come back, since we had seen that, my daughter had seen that one over in the neighbor's house at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'd wondered, do these guys come back when we're sleeping? So I've gone out many a night, and sure enough, they'd come down lower, and instead of going over the woods, they would go over people's houses. I've never posted the footage. I don't want to freak out my neighbors and make them all, you know, like, sell their houses and move away, because I thought, well, this is just a flap, as they call it. And after they get done checking out my area, they'll move on somewhere and we'll never see them again. That'll be the end of it. And it hasn't happened yet. So I don't know if we're, if our area is going to be in an area like Pine Bush, New York, which still has the same crafts coming, apparently. There's a guy posting footage of them whenever he drives up them. He doesn't live there, though.
So do you think this has been going on a long time and you just started to notice it in 2007, or is it a pretty recent type of phenomena?
Well, they didn't start flying over my house after dusk. Like I said, I had a hot tub in my yard since about 2003, mm-hmm. and we didn't start seeing anything until after, it was probably the summer of 2007 when we kept seeing what we thought were a lot of meteors.
mm-hmm.
So, but before that, we hadn't seen anything. But my house kind of sits in like a little bowl-shaped valley at the top of the hill. And it's not real deep or anything, but I don't have view of the entire area around there. But there's enough reports on that National UFO Reporting Center site for my county, indicating that they probably have been there for a while.
And, I see. So there's, in a way, there's really nothing to do. I mean, you're just an observer. You're just watching the phenomena. You're documenting it. You're kind of, you know, just monitoring it and seeing where it goes and what can you do about it, right?
Yeah, I can't really do anything about it, but it's fascinating. It sure in the heck beats out of stupid TV shows.
Well, and, and why aren't more people coming forward and saying, hey, there's something happening here?
Well, there is, and they're all online. And the only way they can raise their voices is by filming it and putting it on YouTube. And like I said, over 100 people. I can't fit any more names on my list, but I keep adding more names. There's another guy, a new one in Longview, Texas. He's got the same type of activity. And if you ask him what he's observed, he'll regurgitate pretty much just what I told you. They come down from the sky as a little sphere, and they're whizzing around, and then they expand into various shaped crafts. And I do mean various shaped crafts. And we even have names for the different styles of lighting they like to do.
Like
and they
what?
Seem
what?
To continuously have to morph. Like, there's one that looks like a small letter T flying backwards, lined in white lights. We call that one the Mr. T. There's one that we call the WTF because it's changing its shape while it's flying so much that you can't tell what the F it is. Adding lights, moving lights. Sometimes it looks like an upside-down pyramid. There's another one that looks more like an oval sphere with an open clamshell mouth. We call that one a clamshell.
Well, if someone didn't know what this was, they would be sort of freaked out. They'd be traumatized, shocked by if they were just coming across this and had no preparation for it, right? I mean,
That's who I hear from. I have over 7,000 messages from people who've contacted me just on YouTube.
What do they say?
Most of them are people who are like, oh my God, what the hell are these things? You know, should I be afraid? Should I move? Should I bite? Should I shoot at them? And, you know, I try to calm them down. I'm sure that's probably one of the reasons that the government clearly doesn't want to talk about it or allow it to be on TV because, you know, people would tend to panic without having any. They can't tell the citizens who's in them and what their agenda is themselves. So they really can't offer any assistance, so we might as well just keep it quiet. I think it's a method. So I try to help everybody, you know, and all the other people filming them, posting in various countries, we're all trying to help everybody. Like, look, you know, I've chased them. I've chased them down in my car. I've hit them with flashlights and laser pointers and stuff like that, and they haven't zapped me dead, although they do have laser beams, and I have that on video, too. That's one of the hack videos. So it's UFO Shoots Beam. One of my friends re-uploaded it, a copy that he had.
Oh, I think I've seen a UFO shoot a beam. It was like a little short burst of blue light, and I said to myself, "Did I see that?"
No, mine is in green night vision.
What's that?
Mine's the green night vision one, and it's shooting the beam over and over again. Like it didn't burn anything in the field, so I'm thinking that because there's a coal mine running underneath there, maybe it was scanning for the coal mine.
Tell me a little bit, tell people about the night vision camera and what that actually is and how you can see more things with that.
Well, they call it a starlight gathering tube. I forget their technical term for it, but what it does, it allows you pretty much, mine's a Generation 3, military grade Generation 3. My new one's a P because they burned out my last one with their bright lights, I guess. And it allows you to see in the dark. And it's not cheap. Those start at around $3,000. And if you add a magnifying lens to them, you know, it's another $300. But the cheaper ones do just as good a job. The cheapest one I can recommend is a Yukon Night Ranger model 28041. And that has a video out jack, so you can record to a variety of devices like VCR, portable DVR or something. And that actually can see them. And
so
there's, you know, models in between there, but that's the cheapest one that would work.
So one thing, as you see them, you know, you said you haven't had any contact, but do you send out some kind of intention, some kind of thought that perhaps they could pick up on? Is there anything coming from you in that way?
I don't think anything's coming from me, but I know it might sound silly, but I've even tested it on myself. Because, like I said, I used to record every night, 6 hours a night on DVD on my roof surveillance cam. That it's a military-grade one. It's like $320. It has the Sony night shot-type chip inside. And it had illuminators that could illuminate 230 feet. And I've actually had the orbs come up and look in my windows in my house. I placed that in my yard. And I've had them come up and be right over top of my roof, that little ball, where I was talking to somebody on the cell phone, and it cut out my voice, but not her voice, and she freaked out because I'm like, there's a UFO right in front of my camera. And she's like, oh, my God, Allison, they got you. She thought they got me or something, but it was probably just monitoring the signal or something, you know.
But have you tried to put out some kind of heart connection or some kind
a guy from Toronto that studied meditation with Shah Baba in India for 5 years.
Yeah.
And he tried that, and they have not responded to anything in a definitive, hey, we got that message. So whoever this one is, I don't think it has the CE5, Dr. Greer, contact groups that tried, and they were only 500 feet from the woods where these things typically showed up, and they even tried and had no effect, not one orb. Up. There was not one orb showed up at all. So their method does not work on this particular group.
Because Greer's method is sort of to make some kind of telepathic contact.
Yeah, they do like a TM meditation kind of thing. And
right, and they do get a response when Greer's people are out there in certain locations. They do get something. And
yeah,
then,
I don't think it's this group. It might be another ET group. It's not this.
Right. My friend Mark in the city says he puts out a kind of feeling sense, and he gets a message. I mean, it's a whole other realm. It seems like you're just documenting the hardcore evidence of what's there.
Yeah. Well, these might be drones, and maybe that's why they don't respond. They could be remotely controlled, camcorders for ETs back in their home planet or dimension, wherever they come from. There might not be any ETs in them at all. We really can't understand how a living entity, biological being, could be inside these things and expand shape, size, and continuously morph like that and be just a biological entity. Mm-hmm. So maybe they show up, you know, like Star Trek later on if they want to camp out or something, you know, beam themselves over here into a fully formed, full-size craft. But these little things whizzing around, like I said, that if they're a program thing, then that would explain why they don't respond to or signaling them.
And if they're programmed, they're also here not to interact with people. They're here to gain some kind of energy source for their craft, or like the coal or like the radon gas, you know?
Yeah, study and, you know, pick up a little, reduce himself up on the power lines. You know, we have lots of footage of them just coasting along the power lines and hanging around next to radio towers, which they could be monitoring our transmissions. Who knows? Maybe they're even watching TV. I don't know.
Well, but have you ever done any, like, trying to signal them or, like, with a flashlight and, you know, something? And what has happened?
Nothing. In fact, that will make them change and fly off faster, typically. Like, oh, no, they see us. We have to leave now.
Oh, I see. So
yeah, these ones, they don't like being busted.
And so you, in order to get more footage, probably don't want to call that kind of attention to yourself.
Yeah, I noticed that it kind of ruined it. And in fact, doing it so much to the ones that came to the house when they were there would peg the EMF meter, I would whip the camera out, the SLR camera, and disable the autofocus, you know, and just keep flashing it. And I would catch all these spheres on the film. And after doing that so many times, now the power to my house hardly ever gets cut now. It used to happen 2-3 times a week if the weather was not raining, of course.
So you're saying they're not zapping your electrical field because they don't want to be videotaped by you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess that kind of taught them a lesson. They thought they were getting away with it, I guess, before, but now they figure that I'm probably going to set a trap for them. And in fact, I had planned to put trail cams all around my house to bust them doing it.
But it's just very amazing that people around the world are having the same phenomena, exactly the same phenomena, as if we're being mined for some energy from these ships, and it's really going unnoticed. It seems hard to believe that the mainstream is or I'm sure the government's noticing it, but...
Oh, yeah. The cops that had seen them here, I mean, the one guy came at least 5-6 times with his wife, even, and then brought the other tactical surveillance team member over there, and he was going to bring his whole force out here, and I guess after talking to the military, that all kind of got hushed up, and he got promoted.
Oh, really? It makes it more real for me. As I was investigating crop circles in England, I would be in the circles, and it would be just be very strange to just be in these circles. But it wasn't real. It didn't sink in until this unmarked Apache helicopter flew over really low to the ground. It's probably English government helicopter, and it started to take pictures and survey for themselves what that crop circle looked like. That's when, oh my God, this stuff, there's something really strange going on here, and everybody wants to know about it. So it just adds to it, this kind of, you know, shadow government surveying it and suppressing the information. And it's stranger than I think.
One thing I'd like to point out, too, is... there's a lot of people trying to claim, including Greer's gang, that cattle mutilations are staged things done on purpose by the shadow government, evil cabal, they call it, saying that black helicopters were seen around the areas where there was cattle mutilations. But having seen what looks like a helicopter more from a fireball, red fireball with flames coming out, I know for a fact that these UFOs that morph can do a helicopter look. And I've seen them fly over, and they actually look like a triangle with the flat side forward, with the, you know, the pointed part up in the air, with lights along the side of it to mimic, you know, a sideways flying helicopter. So that, again, fits again with the cattle mutilations being done by this probably the same group.
I don't agree with a lot of what Greer says. I mean, some of it's true, but I don't think the government is mutilating cattle in that way. I've met Linda Moulton Howe, who's done the study on it, and she says the blood is completely drained out of these animals and some of the soft tissue, and they're dropped sometimes from
the sky.
Yeah.
And it's being done in various countries. It's shadow governments are not going to go down to Argentina and do it. You know, there's new cases down there right now.
Shadow government, but it's yeah, they're not going to do that there. But
now a reverse psychology. I'm sure the government would love to have everybody think that we have this super secret program, and you know, you better not mess with the U.S. because we're going to come and do things to you and get away with it.
Right, that is part of that whole thing, like you don't know who to believe, which side. But, yeah, I think the shadow government is just as bewildered by these types of phenomena as the regular person, and they have no idea what's going on. Yeah, I mean, so maybe they have some idea, but they're not telling them.
Although the Disclosure Project, getting government people to admit that UFOs exist, has now somehow been soiled by all this bizarre garbage being spewed about evil cabal and the last card, and the last card is going to be the false alien invasion.
What do you know,
35-year-old statement being regurgitated over and over and over again to try to scare
everybody. What exactly is the, what is it that you're saying? Who's saying
Greer's main people, that Carol Rosen, and they're like, oh, that's Dr. Rosen. I'm like, she just got some guy in Africa gave her an honorary doctorate, for crying out loud. She was like a secretary or something.
Wait, what is she saying? You're saying?
She's trying to say that Dr. Vernon Braun Braun on his deathbed said that the government will pull out the last card, and the last card to control the population will be the fake alien invasion. That was 35 years ago. Give it up, Carol. We're tired of hearing it. It hasn't happened.
And you're saying, in a way, that the government has no idea. They're not going to pull that card because they don't have the card to pull.
Right.
And so,
they might have thought of it. They probably said, hey, you know, we could take out such and such in whatever country that's irritating us and blame it on the aliens.
I don't think they're going to do that either, because if they say there are evil aliens, they're admitting there are some kind of aliens, and that opens up the whole can of worms, and I don't think they even want to go there at this point, unless somehow it slips out, but it seems
I think most of the big countries are like Russia. I'm pretty sure they're well aware of this alien group. My contact in downtown Moscow, his name's Oleg. He's been filming them for longer than me. Same kind, hovering, fireball-looking things, and they are doing it over a park next to a hospital in downtown Moscow, over and over and over again. He's been threatened by a colonel there. He even had to leave town for a while, had his channels hacked and stuff too. St. Petersburg, Russia has 5 filmings of the same UFOs hovering night after night over St. Petersburg, and one of them's even dropping a sparkly ball down into the city while it's hovering up there doing the same stuff that one's out.
Did you hear about the Russian president coming forward and talking about the classified UFO files, that there are plenty of aliens on Earth? It was actually on Coast to Coast the other night.
Yeah, they had that posted on YouTube, and that guy's not smiling, even though the newscaster's laughing after he says it. He's not
the
laughing.
The Russian president, Vladimir.
He's not laughing, and he's probably saying, well, I did my part. I told the truth, so they can't say I was hiding. Even if you're laughing at me. It's like I am. I'm telling everybody what's going on. I'm trying to teach their behavior. So when you see it yourself, you'll recognize it, and you won't be scratching your head. And what the hell is that? You know.
Well, I think like, that's part of the strategy that the aliens are doing for the Earth. They're appearing. They're doing whatever they're doing. But, you know, as more people become aware through the media, it won't be as shocking. And eventually the government's going to have to say, U.S. government anyway, you're going to say, guess what? We have company, you know?
I think I'm not sure what their method is, but I'm pretty sure that they probably left off the table admitting that they knew about them all along. You know, they're probably just going to say, really? They exist? Wow. We wondered about that.
Right.
They'll probably do
they
that
won't one. Because, as well,
you know, that's about the only thing they could do, because people would forget all about the excitement of aliens being here to run back and try to get somebody in trouble for not telling us about it, you know, which really is a waste of time.
Yeah.
To just quit squabbling about it. Quit talking about Roswell, for crying out loud, or Kecksburg Crash, and all those other old ones, and Rendlesham Forest. I mean, those guys are torturing themselves on their Facebook page because nobody believed them, and this happened and that happened, and nobody believed me there, and I've been ridiculed since 1980.
Wait, so how far are you from Kecksburg, and was there... There was a huge controversy about the ship that crashed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you know, I'd never heard about it, but one night I stopped along the road about 3 miles from my house because I saw a UFO hovering over a farm field about 3 miles from my house. And because I stopped along in front of this guy's farm field, he thought I hit a deer because a lot of people hit deer there. And I said, I just stopped here because of, you know, this UFO thing right here. And it just looked like Venus in the sky, you know. Uh-huh. And he started telling me, he says, UFO, you know, my friend owned that farm at Kecksburg. And he starts telling me all about it. That's another video that was hacked. I don't know if I still have a copy of that one or not. But he said, yeah, they saw it out there that one night. And those guys said that, you know, they were supposed to keep quiet about that. And I got that all on film because I was cleaning my lens at the time. And then the guy started walking away. And all of a sudden, the thing it went invisible, and it came back higher in the sky, like instant. He was like, "Oh yeah, look, it moved." I was like, "Yeah, well, this is priceless." You know, I got a guy whose friend owns Kecksburg Farm, where the Kecksburg crash happened, and now he got to see his own UFO. He was so excited. I dropped him off a copy of the CD. Actually,
he actually owned the farm. Did he talk about the government coming in? Because there's a lot of
They were told to shut up. A bunch of trucks came in, just like what people said. That's all true.
Yeah, a bunch of trucks came in and carted the UFO away.
And told them to shut up about it, yep.
And there was some kind of weird sound also, like a screaming I heard from that crash.
Well, the path that it supposedly took went over pretty much the area where I sit and film the UFOs. So maybe that's a regular sightseeing path. And maybe it's been going on there for a long time. I don't know. Like I said, there's been weird sightings. The mountains to my east, they call it the Chestnut Ridge, that's had luminous hovering ETs and orbs of light and Bigfoot getting on a UFO or something. That's on that Stan Corden site, too.
Well, I'm just looking up Kecksburg. December 9th, 1965, actually, today's the 10th. That's strange. Well, just... guess what is that, 40, 50 years ago, 53 years ago?
It's time to put it to bed. We got new stuff happening now with more crafts and a chance to actually study them and surround them. Where I'm seeing their activity, pretty easy to triangulate the area and have all people get top-notch, you know, bring out some $100,000 video cameras, long lenses on there because they're advanced and they could detect us if we're closer and they don't really like to be closer to us. We need long lenses and film them from three sides at once, and bam, there you go. That replaced Kecksburg and Roswell and all the other stuff.
Right, but that's not happening for some reason.
It's like people are afraid. The people that aren't afraid that have come out, and there's a woman that from nearby Oakmont, PA, down where they have the Golf Classics, Oakmont Country Club. She lives by that area, and you'll hear her pretty excited on that November 29th footage, part one, she's in. And the people, they never have the equipment. You know, most people don't even want to spend, you know, $1,200 on a HD camcorder, which is about the minimum that you can use to film them.
Well, maybe I'll come out and visit and look at them and document them.
Yeah. Now, you have to make sure that the weather, I'll only tell people to bother coming out if it's the first clear sky night, especially after several nights of rain. They seem to not be able to help themselves.
Well, maybe in the springtime then.
You have to watch the weather and, you know, if it starts clearing up about 4 o'clock in the afternoon or so, and, you know, clear blue skies, that's the best time.
What's your UFO channel? I mean, your YouTube channel with your videos?
Seeing UFOs, PA. All one word. Seeing with your eyes, UFOs in Pennsylvania.
PA.
It's all one word, though.
If people want to get in touch with you, if they, you know, have a sighting to report or something like that. How do you suggest they get in touch with you?
Well, I recommend, for the benefit of all the world to see the activity, I recommend that you report your sightings to MUFON, MUFON.com. That's the Mutual UFO Network. They're the ones that have been on TV and stuff like that, and they say they scientifically study and all that, but they're volunteers. They have no money for equipment or even gas money for people to go out and investigate anything. But they do maintain a website, and your sighting will be posted immediately on the site, typically, unless they started holding them now. They've started censoring out YouTube links to videos out of there, which I frown upon that because they should be transparent like they used to be. But you can pick anonymous and report your sighting for anybody that doesn't want anybody making fun of them or possibility of making fun of them, although they don't release your name to the public.
What was the other place in Seattle, David, the UFO Reporting Center? What's that called? You ever check?
So there's the National UFO Reporting Center, or the initials N as in Nancy, U like umbrella, F like Frank, O, R like Ralph, C, .org, Newfork.org.
Do you know that guy who keeps those reports?
Yeah, Davenport? Yeah.
Yeah, Davenport, yes.
Yeah, he takes a little while to post things. He's getting up there in years. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think he's posted any reports since November 19th, as of this date.
Oh, and there's sightings every day, probably somewhere in the country.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting sometimes 1,000 a month now.
Everywhere, from all over. Yeah.
Yeah, all over in different countries now. A lot of my videos, at the end of the videos, I post both locations.
I thought I saw something this summer in Pennsylvania, these like flying red lights, but they were Chinese lanterns with little paper bags that you fill with like candles and they float up. Have you seen those?
Yeah, and they look like a paper bag with a flame pot at the bottom. So I don't understand why. Could fool people, but.
People I was with reported that, and I said, no, I didn't get the same sense that I would get when I actually saw a real craft. It was more, something shifts for me, and like James Gilliland talks about, he gets some kind of communication, and I feel that too, but I didn't get that with these little, we didn't know what they were, but they were also
has a steady rise up into the sky, and they fade and disappear after about 4 or 5 minutes. It's probably a Chinese lantern. So the UFO ones, they typically go straight across, or they'll stop and flare up and change direction or something.
They also change shape, though, more from one light to five lights.
Yeah, they don't have to. We've seen plenty of them go straight across, looking like a fireball that probably was 6 to 8 foot diameter.
Uh-huh.
So they can pretty much do what they want. And like the Phoenix Lights, they stayed up there looking like the fireball. Big crafts they saw later on, like Chevron and V-shaped, I'm sure it came from one of them. Probably morphed out of one and probably started out slow, just like the ones I'm seeing. So that's what confuses people, like the UFO show with the cops over, I think, Kokomo, Indiana. And there was like 5 witnesses, including several different cops. And between the first location and 5 or 10 miles apart, everybody's description of the craft was different. And it's because they continuously morphed their size, shape, arrangement, and placement and color of lights while they're flying.
Yeah. And people
aren't crazy.
Strange to witness that. I mean, you're used to this now, but once you do see something like that, it shifts your reality. It's like, oh my God, this stuff is true, and there's something else going on planet Earth that we're not aware of. It really shifts your whole reality to start to understand that this phenomenon is happening, and it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, it is happening worldwide, and there's supposedly several different ET groups out there. Like, they're the ones that, like Travis Walton, I met him, had dinner with him. I believe him 100% on what he experienced.
Me too.
He saw the Nordic blondes, with a glass fishbowl over their head, and with some smaller non-grays, regular pupil-eyed little bald-headed guys. And they put him back. They, you know, fixed him. He got too close to their craft and got zapped by their electrical field or something. They fixed him.
Yeah, I know.
Put him back on the ground. But
it was a whole movie.
They never talked. They didn't talk to him either. They didn't tell him where they were from or offer any clues to what the heck they were doing there. So, you know, I kind of hesitate to believe anybody that claims to have, you know, mental one-on-one contact if they can't even take a picture of the crafts that they're getting the messages from. So I advise everybody to take that with a grain of salt if somebody's claiming contact, but yet they can't get them to show up and take pictures with them.
My friend Mark in the New York City says he has contact and he does take pictures of the craft, actually. I'll bring him down to the theater on Saturday, and Allison Cruz will be at Theater 80 showing her films on her UFO, property. I mean, in a way, your night vision films, all of them. I mean, right now you have about 78 on YouTube, so you're just going to show some of the highlights at the Theater 80 event.
I only have time for highlights, and it's Sunday afternoon, December
Sunday
16th.
Afternoon, okay. Yes. 16th. And you're going to be showing at 5 p.m.
Right, but the show starts at 3, and I'm not sure if that price was finalized, but it was only $10 for all 3 hours, as far as I know.
Theater A is on St. Mark's Place between 1st and 2nd Avenue in East Village in Manhattan, so I recommend coming down, and you'll be there to answer questions about all this. And,
yeah, we'll have a question thing after. I know there's going to be a lot, and I'll probably just hand out a paper with the YouTube address, and the best way to educate yourself is to watch all the videos to see the different behavior. This particular group, and I have to keep stressing that, but this is one ET group coming here. I can't speak for all of them because I've only seen this one group who does repeat behavior in the same area, so.
Right, and I like to survey a lot of the different groups so people can realize there may be one or more alien species visiting or types of species. So I think it's important to, distinguish this group does this thing, and these are the kind of crafts they have, and there are other groups doing other things. So it really opens the whole thing up to a much bigger story than are they here or aren't they here. It's like, starts to get to levels of complexity already, you know, just by witness.
Yeah, they are here, and I just hope that people don't go into, like, a panic mode because they've been around for several years, at least 4 years, I mean, in high volume, and they haven't really done anything. Mm-hmm. But some of their behavior at first, I was pretty alarmed because checking out infrastructure, you know, major highways, electrical systems, grids, you know, power plants and things, you know, we would do that in advance of an invasion. So I got worried thinking that maybe they were checking everything out so they can come in and take over or something, but they haven't done that. So maybe it's just curiosity.
I'm not worried about that. I think, you know, they are checking things out. Maybe I think they're accessing their own energy sources. I think they're here for their own designs. I mean, I think they're very advanced, and it's like perhaps like your dog watching you at the computer. You think your dog has any idea what we're doing? I mean, they may be that advanced in intelligence from where we are.
Well, that's why I made that, me and another guy, we made a Facebook page called UFO Planet Zoo, because it sure seems like we're living on Planet Zoo, and the aliens come to look and check us out and then leave again, just like we do at the zoo.
I do think there's a evolution to human consciousness where we will make contact, and this whole phenomenon will start to come to the surface and we'll start to make more sense of it. So I think what you're doing is very courageous, and it's opening people up to the possibilities, and it's expanding people's minds, and that's the best thing we can do at this point in our history.
Is the only thing really that can be done. And that's all I've been trying to do, and I've been posting all the information free to educate people at my own expense and on YouTube and sharing it with everybody.
And you're going to be out there, you're going to keep being out there until, well, to you as
long I'm kind of addicted to it right now. I call them little punks a lot, you know, because, you know, they sneak around and stuff. But every once in a while, they give me a good show. Like on the 29th, November 29th, they give me another good show. And to catch their crafts not morphed in anything, looking like double fireballs skimming along the top of a hill, you know. I've had them come up like to about 500 feet away from me. Uh-huh. And I thought I was going to get them, meet them, but then they'd like turn, make a hard right, and fly out around and make a loop around me and continue on their way.
And you didn't
feel I have a camera, you know, my camera's on, and I could catch their shape, their true shape, which is typically, well, they vary their shape, but people were used to hearing triangle, and it is a similar shape or an arrowhead type shape.
But you didn't feel any kind of electrical frequency when they got 500 feet close to you?
No, but I do get, like I was saying, I tested myself with my surveillance cam to see if the nights I don't feel compelled to look out the window, were they out there? And uh-huh. I would play back the tapes the next day, and sure enough, the nights I didn't feel like looking out the window, they weren't there. So sometimes I get the feeling that they're going to be hot. Like on the 29th, I actually sent a text message to the MUFON state director and told them I feel there's at least an 80% chance they're going to show up tonight. You know,
well, that's sort of what I'm saying. We're developing some kind of psychic intuitive awareness. There is a relationship of sorts developing there that seems to be building. I think that's an interesting statement, that one. And so thank you.
Yeah, I've had people act like, or not act, but they would say, oh, they're showing up just for you. They're showing up for everybody who happens to look out the window. They're not doing a show for me, and I shouldn't have to drive and chase after them on my car if they're showing up for me. So,
well, I'm going to come visit you. I'll probably meet you next Sunday. I'll come by the theater. That sounds exciting. And thank you for doing all this for the planet, really, right? For everyone.
Awesome. Well, that's what I do it for. I get a lot of thanks, and all those messages I get are like, oh, my God, I can't believe somebody actually filmed this. I was so in shock, I didn't even think to grab my camera. It was, like, right over my head.
Well, it does stun you. It's like, yeah, when I saw one in New Mexico, it's like, what do? You don't even think.
You don't want to miss anything.
For a while.
Yeah, you don't want to miss anything. It might do something really cool, and you would miss it. Yeah.
Well, thanks,
exciting
Allison.
Times we're living in, and whatever. I get the feeling that whatever inspired the legends and religions of ancient times might be coming upon us to inspire a new round.
Yeah, a new world,
something.
New realities. That's why I call my show that, because there is something new coming, and I think it's going to have to get more and more in the open. So thank you, Allison. I've been talking to Allison Cruz, her YouTube channel, Seeing UFOs PA, and she'll be in New York on Sunday, December 16th at Theater 80 for a whole afternoon of interesting videotapes on the UFO phenomena. Any final words there, Allison?
Go outside and watch the skies on clear night, and you might get to see them yourself.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for being on the program.
And thanks for having me.
This will be rebroadcast again tomorrow night at 10 p.m. East Coast time, 7 p.m. West Coast time. And then I'll post this on my website as well. So, thanks.
Great. Well, thank you very much. It was an interesting conversation. I always like to talk to somebody who has also seen something in the sky.
I haven't seen as much as you, but now...
Well, at least you've seen something. It's better than talking to somebody that doesn't believe they exist. I'll tell you, that's a real tough one.
Yeah, and you think this even before I saw something, but then, you know, it's just like they really do exist. Once you start seeing them, it's like, yeah, you can believe all you want, but once you're seeing these things, it's like absolutely no doubt, and it's hard to believe other people don't believe it, you know?
Well, I still had to see them. Geez, I can't tell you how many times. I tried to explain it as different things, even... you know, V-shaped balloon that was somehow able to blow up wind. You know, all kind of things. I tried to dismiss them, and it took me driving around and actually catching one still in a plasma ball state over the golf course. When I saw that one do that, maybe 500 to 800 feet away maximum, swirling like a plasma ball, maybe 4 foot diameter, mm-hmm. that was pretty much over then. It was like, okay, these are real. What the hell are they doing here? Why do they keep showing up and doing the same thing over and over and again? And that's not a real plane that looks like a fireball down in the woods, you know?
But, you know, it's interesting. It does that one moment where it's like you go from maybe to, oh, my God, really? Yeah. It's like that. Like, and, yeah, that's like a turning point. But maybe we'll do another show at some point when you have some more interesting footage, maybe in the spring, okay?
Yeah, I really like to get some. I mean, I've not caught them doing the ET walking around. Like, who took my mojo? The guy in Oregon. You should interview him. He's got to see humanoid luminous beings moving around in their craft.
Is that
right across the creek from him? He's
video?
A forestry worker.
Does he have that video on YouTube?
He's on YouTube, and he's Who Took My Mojo? All run together.
Who Took My Mojo, and the aliens are walking around. You can
see there's a playlist on my channel, Aliens in Oregon, and I even have notations next to each of his videos of what is so special about that. He's got the craft, and they're retrieving the orbs, and when they get closer to the ship, they light up real bright, and like it re-energizes the ship somehow and flares up. I think his video is called Wow, because he's just sitting there watching it going, wow! And he gets real good vibes from them. He's had some, he thinks one of them has touched his arm. He couldn't see it in the dark, but something touched his hand, and it made it glow like a dim green and feel tingling.
Wow.
And it left a residual green glow on his hand.
Yeah.
He's now got the night vision. He had a benefactor give him the night vision like I have. I haven't had anybody buy me anything, dang it.
Actually, we should take some of those to the crop circles because there are a lot of orange orbs and lights, and I've seen flashes over those fields. But I haven't seen anything like
you should get the ghost, that tri-field meter, T-R-I field meter, EM2 model. And it has a sum setting, S-U-M, and that's in between electromagnetic field detector. And that one's specifically for UFOs, and that's what pegs when they go around, so I know it works.
All right, so when
it's like $200, but it's worth it.
So you use that and your camera to verify the...
I left that next to my bed. I don't want them sneaking up next to my bed. Well, I'm sleeping. It has a thing you can adjust, and it starts going, when they're coming around.
Close.
I whip the window open, and flash, 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 and boom, you'll see the light bounce off the orbs real time. You hold the camera over your heads and look in the direction of the flash is pointing, and you'll see it bounce off of them real time.
So that meter tells you when they're close because they're influencing the electrical field. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they obviously do. They're the same ones that suck stream of electric off of the power thing. Like ghost orbs, I'm thinking just like planets and stars are round spheres. Any energy source without a matter container will be a sphere. So yeah, ghost, spirit, energies could be orbs. But these things are doing the sphere orb shape. And I've even seen them being retrieved back into a craft. I know they're coming from them. We've seen them dropping them out too. If I could record everything that I've seen, I'd have a whole day of footage of just good stuff. But, you know, to see, when you put the night vision up to your eye and not through the camera, you could see so much more detail. It's not even funny.
So there's a meter that will alert you when these crafts are near, and they're called what again? So I can just take note of it.
Tri-field natural EM2 meter. Just Google that. You'll find a website for tri-field. T-R-I-F-I-E-L-D. Tri-field meter.
All right, and you can buy that, and you can, and it sort of wakes you up when they're closed, huh?
Well, you, there's a little adjustment thing on there. You could, you know, make it get halfway before it makes a noise.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So, okay, well, I'll come out to visit, and I'll take one of those. And
yeah, they, you could plug them into, a, like, a, when I had it next to my bed to alert me, mm-hmm. I had it plugged into the wall outlet, so you're not sucking batteries up all the time. And I have the model, the EM2, has the electrifier, or the magnified coil attachment to make it even more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the model I got. It was like $240 or something.
Well, thank you, Allison. I think we're about out of time.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But no, I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you more when I meet you. And thanks for all your research.
Hey, I just hope it gives people a place to start, or if they don't want to contaminate their own results, they'll have something to go back to verify what they think is the case.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. So that was, this is Al, that was, been talking to Allison Cruz, Seeing UFOs, PA. And again, she'll be in New York next Sunday at Theater 80, along with a whole day of these new films about UFOs in around the world in our skies. So stay tuned. We'll do, be doing more programs about this and related subjects on New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. If you want to reach me, you can go to my website, newrealities.com, or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. Sir,